Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a wonderful day. You are listening to or watching the Service Business Mastery Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tersh Blissett, sitting virtually next to my co-host, Joshua Crouch. And it's been a little while since we have done a live recording because, man, we did a lot of recordings at different expos and different events. And it was like, I felt like every other week I seen you face to face.
It was weird. It was like literally for like a 3 month period, we saw each other every third week or so. And then I think we recorded like 30 to 40 episodes in just a couple weeks.
We did.
I mean, we got a lot of, it's a lot of really good stuff. It just hasn't come out yet, which has been great because we finally got ahead of the curve here. We're finally like being smart about this and not having to work our ass off every week.
Well, the crazy thing is like crazy and kind of almost sucky thing in my opinion is like there's some really good content that we've recorded that's not going to come out until like the middle or the end of summer, and it's like, oh, I want to release it right now, but it's like, no, we got to hold true to the production schedule, but there's some really great things that are coming out each week, and I'm excited for that. One thing I want to say real fast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people who make that kind of stuff possible for us. We wouldn't be able to go to all the events that we did go to. And we were actually supposed to go to two more events here this past week, or these weeks now.
In April. Yeah. We're supposed to be at one next week, actually.
But, I actually have to have spinal surgery next week, and I was preparing for that. And if y'all didn't know, I was climbing through my attic and putting in a light fixture for Julie that she asked for her birthday. And we have,
so it's Julie's fault.
It is 100,000% Julie's fault. It's going to be her fault forever. But I was climbing through, we have pre-built trusses and they're all 2 foot centers, and I've climbed through our attic a gazillion times. But there was a piece of ductwork that I stepped over and I stepped onto another truss and I stepped on that 45 degree angle that you're not supposed to step on. And my foot just slid down it. And I fell over forward and I caught myself on the other truss, but I don't know if you can see that or not in the screen, but, and it's not swollen like it was, but I broke my hand, in two different places. And so I have to go get a CT scan tomorrow, and I can't take any medicine because I am getting ready for that, surgery on my neck to have that.
You're a hot mess right now, dude. Every time I talk to you, it's like, what the hell is wrong with you?
I know, but that's why I'm not wearing my normal outfit either, because I have a cast I'm supposed to be wearing, and it doesn't fit over any of my shirts or anything. So I feel really out of place. But I want to say that we would be at some other events. Long story short, we had to schedule out my neck surgery before it got super hot in the busy season too. So. But I want to say a huge thank you to the guys from UpFrog. They're actually going to be on the show today, and they make things like that possible for us. We're going to talk a lot about, we're going to talk a lot about UpFrog, obviously. They are doing some great things, and I'm not going to spill the beans just yet, but we did something really cool last night and got some really wild results, in my opinion, today already. In my business, in Service Emperor's business, via UpFrog. But I want to give a huge shout out to those guys and thank you for everything that they do for us and help support the podcast and make this possible. Also Billy and their team over at Sarah, they got some really cool things. We got some announcements coming out. We're going to have an episode next week with Billy, and someone else that, if you're in the industry and you're really into the podcasting stuff, you might already know this, but I'm not going to say it until next, was it going to be probably Monday? Hopefully Monday, because I have surgery Tuesday, unless I'm going to do it from a hospital bed. But we got some cool announcements that are going to come out next week. And Emerson, they're our newest partner of the podcast, and some really cool stuff. We actually recorded at Emerson's booth. Wow, that was a hard edit for me to do, because the background noise at the booth
was pretty intense. We were literally in front of like this huge group of people, and we had people from Emerson were like gatekeeping to make sure
like
people didn't walk through. It was difficult.
But everybody was really interested in what we were talking about, and they were interested in just hanging out with you know, honestly, I was just as interested to hang out with Josh as all those other people were. They were like, hey, there's Josh. Look at sexy Josh with his white beard. He looks like he's 60 years old. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, but, my audio is pissing me off right now.
Oh, that's so awesome. So I can say whatever I want to. And,
no, this is I will go back through the recording and make sure.
Amazing. This is awesome. All right. So last but not least, Company Cam. And I actually have an announcement for Company Cam, and I'm going to create another video just for that. But huge shout out to everybody. And I don't typically go long-winded and thank everybody like that. But we haven't been on the show for a little while. And these are the people who really make it possible for us to be able to be on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and all these other places that I don't even really know. And Josh doesn't either.
It's a ton of work. And we've been able to hire staff to help us, which has freed us up to focus on like the quality of the content, some of the other events and things like that. We're able to get content that we don't normally get from people that we don't normally get to see.
Yep.
So exactly. It's been very helpful.
And share that with you as well. Today we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of things, automation. We're going to talk about, where things are going. Obviously we're going to talk ChatGPT, because
I think we're going to talk about the business landscape now too, because we're in this first COVID lull, right? It's post COVID. Things have changed. The market has changed. The sentiment on the business landscape has changed. So, and I know Justin and Noah, they're data geeks. So I'm sure they'll have some really great stuff to share with us on what that means for you moving forward and how you can operate your business and how you can look ahead to make sure that you are changing with the times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited. You got anything else before we get started?
Let's go. Let's I'm ready. Go.
Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hey guys, welcome to the show.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
How are y'all?
Happy to be here. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Justin and Noah, if you don't mind, would y'all get started telling everybody who you are, just in case they haven't seen an episode or heard an episode before?
Okay, sure, man. I'm Justin. I'm the CEO of UpFrog. Me personally, I've been in the trades, I don't know, 24 years now, so it's kind of dating myself. I didn't start as a digital marketing guy. I started as an apprentice helper and then a service tech in home sales, and just kept working my way through that. UpFrog, you know, we're a growth engine for a lot of businesses. Primarily,
I feel like you're almost born for the trades, man. That's just the way it
seems that way, right? It was almost like my father. You know, he was in the trades as well, and I guess, you know, he took me to work with him every day. You know, when he would allow me, and I'd go to job sites. You know, so I guess you could say I'm kind of born for the trades.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. That's cool. But really, UpFrog does three things, right? We get new customers every day for businesses, right? New customers, because you need those every day, right? And then like the second thing we do is we take, you know, existing customers and we turn them into repeat customers. Hmm. Right. And then the third thing is we do is we help increase the closing rate on your jobs, maybe the repair, maintenance, sales, replacements, things like that. So really it's a three-pronged approach that what we do. And I got my right hand man here, Noah, as well. He's been on our the whole journey with us the whole time.
Yep. So my name is Noah Carter. You know, me and Justin kind of founded this thing. You know, he had an idea. It's not, you know, started 2 years ago, but we kind of made it to be what everybody knows is UpFrog about 2 years ago. And ever since, it's been, you know, quite.
You've been trying to grow that mustache since, right?
Yeah, oh, I think we have.
Oh, boy. It's still not growing out. Can't do the goatee. So I got to, you know, get rid of the bottom part.
So it's so funny. We have like what I call like the three, and now it's the four stooges, right? And yep. We have three people, and you all just celebrated a birthday, right? Because you all are like the same age. And celebrated birthday, right?
There's three of us within 30 days, and then there's there's one of us is within the same 30 days, but 1 year prior. All right, so we're a bunch of young guys, and you know, with that comes a lot of time we're willing to put in. We got a name to make for ourselves. We got something to prove, right? And when you pair that with kind of the tools that we have at UpFrog and the stuff we're going to talk about today, it proves to be quite the growth engine, as Justin said, for multiple.
We're trying to people to help, right? Because that's really what our mission is to arm these small businesses with the tools of today, right? And that's difficult, you know, especially in times like today where you know, maybe Q1 wasn't the best that it was. You run around trying to close as many jobs as you can. You don't really have time to learn all this new technology that's coming out. You just want someone that does it and just hands it to you. And that's kind of what we do.
Yeah. You hear a lot of buzzwords and you can overwhelm yourself with like AI. Like AI just kind of took the market by storm, or at least the buzzwords. And
I don't think there's been buzz like this for anything in probably, what would you say, 10, 15, 20 years.
But the thing about it is the like AI, like true AI is not really, it's machine learning, and it's also dated data, a lot of it. And so we just have to take that with a grain of salt. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry, I'm done talking about it. It's one of those rabbit holes that you can just spend forever in, and I've done it. Josh had done it too, but
so now we own UpGrog. I'm looking at the banner on the bottom. We're UpGrog.
Good job, Josh.
What did I do? Shit, did I
say that? Yeah, you got to keep an eye on him.
you got to watch that guy.
But I know that guy is
fired. He's fired.
Right. Yeah. That guy's fired, Josh. I got to know something because there you go. I had Noah's contact information already in my phone, but yesterday we were doing a chat thread and all of a sudden I get Noah Sniper. Huh. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure Noah's last name is Carter. Is there somebody else in this group chat? I got to know the backstory on this here.
Yeah. So Noah and I actually met in a Discord group, you know, there for a while. When I exited the trades, I got into, you know, day trading and financials markets and stuff like that. And I actually met Noah, and his name was, Unknown Sniper. So when I put his name and his phone number in, and we actually own another business together, which is a trading business. And his name's been saved ever since as Noah Sniper.
Yeah. So when he shared the contact that came over, it gave me a good laugh too. I still see it. I'm like, NS with the, you know, the Apple short. Uh-huh. Like, NS, who's that? Oh, wait. No, it's me. Oh, Sniper. Okay. I see what you did there. And that was, you know, only 6 months ago. So this has been in his phone for, you know, 2 years or more now. It's just funny that it came up like that. But naturally, you know, you said something that I wasn't even going to mention it, right? Didn't want to go down that wormhole either. But with ChatGPT and the whole AI movement, it's just like during COVID, you know, we had that stock boom, right? Everybody got a Robinhood account and wanted to day trade, all right? Yep. And I feel like, look, I saw that wave and I was there 3 years prior when nobody knew about, you know, you could make money from home on a computer hardly, right? There was like a 5% of the population that knew about it and less than that even tried it. It seems the same way with ChatGPT, right? So everyone it kind of made that same thing that's been around. Look, you know, my family is a little bit into computer coding. So I've known that this stuff like this has been around for 5-6 years. Well, now it's kind of being productized, right? So everyone's trying to make a new solution with it. And you'll run into all types of subscription services to try to make it productized. And it seems like almost like we're late to the party, right? But there's a lot of useful tools, all right? There's a lot of useful tools that people, you know, overlook, all right? And it's gotten a lot better, and that's why it's getting the buzz it is, okay? So if we look over the, oh, cool, we can type something in, and it'll give us an encyclopedia response, right? And we look more for use cases. I think that's where, you know, people will actually see value in these names that may seem like a fad right now, right?
Yeah, it's all about prompt engineering. Like, that's what it's about, right? It's about, you know, leveraging the data that's in there. And neurocomputing is the kind of the area that we're moving into, and that's the ability for computers to like think and feel, right? And then output that, which is very, very, very cool. Like, it's not cold, right? Like, there's multi dimensions into it now with like emotion and stuff. So it's some really, really cool stuff. So yesterday we were like, you know, in a group chat, all talking to each other, and we're like, so what are we going to talk about today? You know, I mean, what's the thing? And you know, and I think Noah commented, well, we're going to talk about how Terse has never used our platform before. and it like sparked this idea.
I totally jumped on
3 p.m. yesterday afternoon. And I was like, oh, I got it.
Pure pressure city. I was just like, yeah, Terse, what the fuck, dude?
Why? So we all piled on Terse.
And I'm like, I'm like in the middle of doing something right now. Like, I know Terse
was like the only one not talking in the group. It was literally the
I tried to give a little delay. I was like, what time would be good for a Zoom? Justin's like, start it now.
I already started. I've got your credentials. and so we spun up your account, and within, I would say, 2 hours or so, start to finish.
Yeah.
Kind of getting it live. And then we launched a little bit last night with two main goals, right? One was to fill the calendar with tune-ups for the spring. And then the other was to try and recover some revenue of all the unsold opportunities, whether they be repairs and replacement opportunities from the last year. So I know we you know, I apologize to Julie directly right now on the screen because she didn't sign up for it. Right. And she was just like had no say in the whole thing. So, you know, Julie's over there trying to, you know, catch up to what we're doing. And so I'm sorry, Julie. Very sorry. But how's it working? Are you guys catching your breath now?
I mean, it's good. I love the fact that I get text messages every time that you get like accepted.
You just got to put it when you get those text messages, Terse, you got to change the ringtone for that specific message to like a cash machine.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Wouldn't that be fun? Well, it's really cool because like we're getting appointment scheduled, and then an unsold job that wants to move forward. So, I mean, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 of those since
four unsold jobs that want to close
this morning. Yeah. And then we have several tune-ups that,
how much revenue do you think that is?
I mean, on the low end, if it's a system replacement, you know, 10,000 per system on the low end, mm-hmm. And, you know, probably 15,000. Actually, that's realistically 15,000 is our low end now with everything going up in price.
So $60,000?
Probably.
Yep. Hey, great way to end March, right?
Yeah, that is a good way to end March.
And
luckily Irish.
It kind of
leads into one thing I want to talk about, and that's two things really. Texting, everybody does texting. Everybody says, yeah, I've got my office texting people this and that. Right now, and really always, it's all about the tone and the message that you offer to the consumers, right? And look, we are in 2023, we're in a much different environment than we were, you know, during the COVID days, and it was a boom, right? Like there was like people were doing repairs to their home. Left and right. Like there was this huge wave of work that was happening. And right now there's like good bit of uncertainty out there, right? Am I going to get laid off? Right. Yeah. I see banks failing. Like we still have like probably like, shock from the 08 stuff that happened. So anytime this stuff happens, it's like, and then we see, and I see other marketers make this mistake. They don't strike the right tone, right? Right now it's empathetic and somber, right? Like you need to hit customers where it was at. So I don't have a problem sharing the message if you don't mind me just kind of rattling off what we did. Because I think that's really important in these podcasts is not just sit here and blab our lips, but it's about giving actionable things somebody could do in an hour from now. Right. And you could get business, whether you're a client of ours or not. I don't care. Right. Because like our mission at UpFrog is to help people. So really through the years of financing, right, there used to be these things, no payments, no interest, no no's. Right. And everybody thought they were illegal for a while because they kind of banned them and then they kind of crafted the loans a little bit. And then, you know, a couple lenders came out with it. And I remember when I was in home selling, I would offer it to people. I'd say, oh, this is going to be the perfect thing during, you know, tax season, right? But before people get their tax returns, you know, everybody's got new money from Christmas. Nobody ever took me up on it. Like it was like this forgotten about plan. Well, I'd say a month and a half ago, we started launching these campaigns. And it was to existing customer bases that went out. And it was an unsold job, job value 6,000 or more. So we knew they probably needed financing because the majority of people do. And we said, hey, you know, I'm Tersh and or the business owner, and it would be wrong of me. Like, I don't want to press you. I think it said, hey, it's Tersh from Service Emperor. And it would be, I don't want to pressure you, but it would be wrong of me if I didn't let you know about the special that we're running right now on no interest, no payment, pay nothing for 18 months financing. So if you're even thinking about replacing this summer, right now is the time. Shoot me a message if you're interested. And that simple of a message, and really, you know, I think there was 272 unsolds that we ran through the list. Yeah. Not all of them went through last night. Some were coming out today. But out of those first batch of maybe 100, four of them, 4% of that list. So if you're a service business right now and you have unsold jobs from last year, take your total number of unsold estimates you've got, you know, take 4% of that. And that's a reasonable number that you can recover right now.
Is that what you guys are seeing when you guys do this across there? Yeah. Cause I know you guys work in markets all across the US.
We do, you know, and that's an advantage. You know, we tested it. It really wasn't, it was a collaborative idea. It wasn't our idea that started. You know, we work with a lot of great clients and they said, we got to do a financing offer. How about we try this? And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I've never made that financing plan work ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like people didn't want it where I was at. Maybe the economy was so good or this or that. I said, all right, so we'll try it. Well, I'll be damned. Like, they started selling jobs. I think they sold 6 the first day. And it was like, holy crap. So then we tried in another market and then another one and another one. So now it's like, I'm telling you, if you have that plan available and you can afford the finance charges, because they're not cheap. Okay. Yeah. If you've got that built into your numbers, it's working like really, really, really well.
Well, the cool part about your own customer like that is you'll get a tag that says, hey, you know, they obviously hit us back up based on this financing offer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, hey, they called in and this is what they clicked on after they called in. So we have all that history there. So, you know, that when you send your tech out to the home, hey, we're not quoting that job at a lowball cash price, right? We're going to know they're looking for that no mm-hmm. option. All right. So it's going to be tagged there for your record.
And I think I was watching, because I really watched, you know, the messaging, and I always do. Like, that's an advantage we have. We get to watch the communications of customers.
Yeah.
Some people said, you know, well, look, we're not really going to do it this year, but we would like a tune-up. Do you guys do mm-hmm. that now? And like, it's just engaging them. But if we came out and just ran a spammy coupon ad or, hey, buy now, you know, 12 months interest-free financing, you know, this and that. If we wouldn't have prefaced it with, look, we don't want to be pushy. Right. But it would be wrong of us if we didn't at least make you aware of it. And it's just striking people in the right tone and message right now. So,
I got a question for you. Freakishly today, it's like 55 degrees outside. Now, it's been in the mid to upper 80s the past week, mm-hmm. 2 weeks. But we sent these out last night and today. Last night, I say last night. What time did we cut it off?
So we ran it up until 8 p.m. So we ran it a little longer. So we're on the Eastern Seaboard, but, you know, really the optimal time for your campaigns like this are, you know, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Okay.
So do you think that weather could have affected or did affect it any? I mean, because we're going in and saying we're going to do a spring tune-up, and then they're like mm-hmm. bundling it with a jacket, because here 55 degrees, we're putting on winter coats.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, we're south.
You know, sometimes we'll add to the messaging if it was a little bit earlier that we're pre-scheduling, priority scheduling, right? Yeah. Especially if it's your existing customer base, right?
Good point.
You know, and just add some little tidbits there. You know, and at least put the message out there. Because look, you know, I mean, somebody sees the message and they received it, right? And they saw it. Well, they might be doing errands and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, right. It's this time now. So then what we do, okay, is 7 days later, okay, we have a whole flow. You know, for the financing offer, we're going to do a 7-day check also. So all the people that, you know, didn't really respond or didn't say stop, we're just going to send a kind reminder. Hey, just want to let you know the offer's about to end. It's as simple as this, right? And
now when you do that, do you find that you have a lot of opt-outs at that point, or mm-hmm. okay, because really. I wonder if that gets annoying. Because for me, I feel like anytime I've set up like even an email campaign, I feel like if I set it up where it's like, all right, a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks, I'm going to be annoying people.
No,
but at the same time, whenever I'm receiving text messages, like I get one from the Ford dealership for our fleet vehicles, and it's like, oh yeah, crap, I forgot that I have to do that. And then I, like you said, I was in the middle of doing something else.
And then
that completely slipped my mind. And then a week or two later, they sent me a reminder again. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna stop what I'm going to do.
Because look, we've got to remember a couple things. Number one, timing, right? And I've said this before on here. If you hit somebody at the wrong time and they say stop, are they saying stop because they're busy right now and you annoyed them? Or are they saying stop to your offer? So we found that you can get less unsubscribes if you target specific times when a customer is more available. Okay, if you're texting people in the morning, right, and they just got into work, like people are worried about their jobs right now. They're not really keeping their phone there, and it could be irritating, right? Yeah. They're on a call, a Zoom call, and you know, they hit stop, but really they didn't want to not use your service. They just, you hit them at the wrong time.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't know.
That's a fear of mine for sure, because I'm that person. I will emotional stop on a heartbeat, because
I do it all the time.
They just, especially if it's a bad part of the day. I'm not a morning person. Josh knows that. Like Josh and I are yin and yang. Like he's the morning guy, like just the weird person. And I'm like, let's sleep in and hang out all night long. And, you know, let's party all night long. And I'll sleep till noon. And if you text me at 8 o'clock in the morning trying to sell me something, I am going to be mad.
Like, look, let's face it. Nobody wants to wake
up. That's why I text you in the morning.
like we used to not even schedule our service, our sales appointments till after 12. Like nobody wants 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning to buy a $15,000 system. Let's face it.
Well, they still have the whole day to like do research if they want, right? Like it's, if you have 8 o'clock in the morning, like, well, I got the rest of the day to still deal with this issue if I want to. If you think about it from that perspective.
Yeah, I think the stats like almost 80% of all 16 and above SEER equipment sold after 4 p.m.
Yeah, I remember you saying that before. Yeah. Do you feel like that's still consistent with the change of landscape that we're having?
And that's the time of signing of contracts. So when you look at the time of actually closing the deal, right? Like you may run estimates throughout the week and they say, hey, we're going to move forward. Do you mind sliding by this evening to sign the paperwork, right? And do your layout. So
I think that reminds me of Justin. I cannot think of the name of the movie. There was a movie where they worked in a video TV appliance store where it was like the guys would fight over the shifts because the guys knew the money was in second shift.
Yep.
12 to 8. Versus because nobody comes in and buys a TV at 9 o'clock in the morning. Like who's buying a TV? If you're buying a TV at 9 o'clock in the morning, you probably got some other issues.
Because you don't have party too hard last night and broke my TV.
Yes, usually go on lunch or they go in the afternoon or evening to go buy those bigger purchases because that's what they want to do with their personal life and they have time to do those things.
Yeah, Saturdays and after 4 p.m. Those are the high percentage areas.
And I think one thing that you touched on that I thought this is where you were headed, but you didn't, Tersh, was you know, it's 55 degrees. I'm sure your PPC campaigns aren't performing too well right now if you're trying to do AC tune-up or anything like that, right? However, you have that client base. You're able to keep your guys busy today, even when, you know, previously you would assume it would have been a, you know, work day at the shop, right? And that's not what we're, you know, really targeting, but I can tell you that, hey, if you need to fill your schedule and then turn it off, turn it back on, we do accommodate. Right. So naturally, the first thing that you said was, hey, you know, it's 55 degrees outside. But then right before you said we had four people, you know, so I'm like, well.
Yeah, because the tune up campaign is going to run for about 18 days.
Yep.
So, you know, just because, you know, somebody didn't respond at first. Right. We'll continue to message them and drip them out. And then people may say, yes, I want it. And then they don't respond. And we just follow up with them automatically. You know, it's pretty hands off. Now naturally nothing is 100% hands off. There's a lot of
you explain that like because there's certain questions and comments that come through that we need, like we are responsible for, because there's a little bit of AI or
there is, you know,
back end stuff, but there's also things that we can't just set it and forget it.
Yeah, I would say that the hardest ones are the or the most manual lift ones are the unsold opportunities. right? Those are going to be the weirdest kind of questions you're going to get, you know, and you know, it's very hard. And really you kind of want to handle those with care, you know, because it's such a high value, the tune-up stuff. You'll get people asking, you know, multiple things. The very easy answer is like, yes, I want it, or sure. Okay. Maybe, like, maybe is a tough one. Like, maybe can go, maybe not, maybe yes. Like, there's these, you know, so it's assisted. I think a lot of times you ask,
almost, sometimes it's better to hear no than maybe.
Like, I know, right?
It's like,
so
just yeah. say something.
I was maybe, telling they some, say a maybe is a no, but they're too scared to tell you.
I was telling someone this yesterday because they were getting some feedback. We do real basic stuff for clients, not nearly on the level you guys do, but like review campaigns. Just talk mm-hmm. to your existing customers. Would you recommend us? Let's get some reviews. Let's get some positive touch points on your Google Maps listing, grow your account, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And because of their emotional attachment to the replies, they wanted to turn the campaign off right away as soon as they get a bad. I mean, I said, this is an opportunity. You don't know who all your customers actually are, your active customer base is, because you may have pissed someone off. You have no idea. They never told
That's
you.
That's right.
They never left feedback, but through text message, they're willing to tell you how they feel. Mm-hmm. They just type it out real quick and they're like, yeah, screw you guys.
And sometimes these tune-up campaigns we do weeds out the callbacks that will happen when it gets real hot, right?
Because we actually literally, okay, it's funny you mentioned that, because one of the ladies, and I think Julie actually sent you a screenshot of this a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. We sent her an offer on one of her systems that we were following up on, the system replacement. And she was like, I don't want to replace the system right now, but the other system, you replaced a zone damper a few years back and that zone's not working right. And I want you to come out here and take a look at it. And so not really like callback, but could potentially have
been. Man, I tell you, you want to run those when it's 56 degrees out, because you do not want to go to that customer's house when it's 80, 90 and their COD calls on the board, yep. right?
Exactly.
And it fills the calendar, but yet clears capacity for the summertime mm-hmm. as well, which is nice.
Yeah, that preventative. I mean, truly mm-hmm. preventative maintenance, not just like we're going and kicking tire maintenance, like truly being preventative and helping to free the schedule up come summertime. And I think that our philosophy is that we're going to diagnose the entire system every time we're there. That mm-hmm. way, we're not going back out and having repeat visits throughout the summer. And when we don't diagnose the whole system, when we're there as a technician, that's when we're going out there repeated, you know, several times throughout the summer.
Yeah. And putting good notes in the server, you know, having your techs really, you know, and I think Company Cam does some of that stuff where like they can actually shoot a video and, yep. you know, and really log what happened, because I can tell you the more data that you put into that, even for unsold estimates, we can read that data, right? And we can, you know, pick out phrases, right, that are in company
so
notes.
You can't so through UpFrog you're able to do that, like,
so we built an integration with ServiceTitan. Mm-hmm. It has taken us much longer to get to the end zone, partly because, you know, we grew so fast, and it's one of the things, you know, when you start a business, is you hope it grows, and then it grows really fast, and you have these ideas, like, of a roadmap.
Please slow that you're putting
down. And then it's like, oh my gosh, how are we going to like handle all this? So it's taken us a little while to get there, but yes, we've got the ability now to sync our platform with ServiceTitan. And there'll be other, you know, platforms that come along, because it's so helpful. So what does that look like, right? It means like your tech goes out and they don't sell a job, right? And you can map the time, like say 2 weeks, right, that you want to start nurturing that customer. Well, we can use OpenAI, different things like that, and we can craft messages around the description of what needs to be done.
Whenever you're doing something like that, and you're doing OpenAI, or if that's what you're using, and not necessarily saying that's what you're using, but I have a question about that. How closely do you need to watch that? Because there are times where I've asked a question and OpenAI has seemed extremely certain that they gave me the correct answer, but it was the wrong answer. And, yeah, but they almost convinced me that I had no idea what I was talking about. And I'm like, no, I promise you, yeah, I am right.
So it's all about what we were talking about, the prompts, right? So you have these things like temperature, prompt, character length, all these different things to tune, you know, really the model of what you're dealing with. So you have to kind of handcuff it a little bit and get some data behind it and use it. Like, it's not a main focus of ours by any means. I think it's a value add. You know, this afternoon we're actually launching our first alpha for a test for an after hours responder. And
that's going
to really
be
it's our clients
like
that are pushing
AI.
Us along to go even faster. Right. And he's like, look, I know it probably isn't prime time, but it's better than what we have right now. So please just give it to us.
Hang on. We got to pause. Josh's little things right here behind him. Oh, yep. Okay. So, but that's going to be just text message. Oh yeah.
Oh,
it's a little rotten thing.
Yeah.
That's funny. That is, just chat message, like website chat.
Yeah. Just SMS, right. Just responding to SMS and, Facebook Messenger, right. Cause sometimes they get some messenger calls. Now, we could go off on the deep end of AI and stuff. There are some actual, voice stuff that's pretty rad. I mean, it literally sounds like you're talking to a person. And we'll explore
those AI, video tools and the voices that they use. So you literally just type the text in what you want the thing to say. It's pretty good.
I've lived by this motto of form over fancy, right? And there's a lot of fancy stuff you can do. But at the end of the day, if you get a contractor leads, if you get customers to do business with them again, and you can increase their close rate through basic things that everybody knows how to understand. I'm not huge on the buzzwords. Now we're going to test it and we're use some of it, but it's not the main mission of Upfrog, right? We're a nuts and bolts, you know, block and tackling company. Like, we are going to get you leads. We're going to get you opportunities. More importantly, we're going to get people talking to you, right? And give you the opportunity. And we're going to train you and coach you and the whole thing along the way, which a lot of people don't do, you know, and, there's not
a lot of marketing companies. Well, that's my concern with marketing companies in general, marketing agencies. I've shared multiple times on the podcast that when I first was starting Service Emperor, which was Icebound back then, I was using an agency and I used them because they were really good at getting clients. They weren't the best at doing what they said they were going to do. I had no idea. Like, I was just like, $2,500. Like, I don't have $2,500 to spend, but here's $2,500 every single month to do, I think, PPC, I think SEO. I don't know really what I'm spending this money on because I don't know what's working and what's not working. I got a really fancy report, but come to find out, they were taking credit for a lot of things that I was growing organically. And I had no idea because there was no coaching involved. There's very little communication involved in that transaction at all.
Yeah. And, we kind of pride ourselves in our success team. You know, they do a really good job at, weekly check-ins and really spending time one-on-one with, if an employee needs coaching, right. And because what we do is a little different, right? Answering an SMS message is just totally different than answering a phone call. And I think that's where we really shine in times like this is, you know, if you get a lead form or you get a text message versus a phone call and a PPC lead, like, you're either going to close that PPC lead immediately and schedule it or it's gone.
Yep.
You know, it's poof, right? So, you know, when you can kind of build a relationship with a customer over a text message or a web form or Facebook Messenger or something like that. Two different styles of leads, obviously. Like, the PPC is the person that, look, I got an emergency. I need it like right now. And, you know, I think it's just being a blended company is important moving forward is really learning that, you know, if you say something wrong in text, they're not going to answer you back. If you say something wrong in a phone message, they might like, kind of, you know,
you can go
talk
back
to you differently, but they're not going to hang up the phone on you.
Yeah. How are we, cause you mentioned earlier, you know, tone being everything and changing up the way we're doing things. How do you do that through text message? Because there's times where, text messages can be misconstrued, and you know, like how do you not be the
right? I think the number one thing is we've got to keep. We are here to help and serve, and we're in the service business and experience business. Okay. Now, obviously marketing sales is a very large part of HVAC, and it's very important because without it, you wouldn't win, but it's always leading with deference and just letting people know that you're there to help them. And if you keep that in mind, right. Imagine you're talking to your family members in a chat, please don't be structured. Like, you know, I always say an example, you know, it's a great day and this, and it's a sunny day here to help you and this and that.
Yeah.
Like that stuff really bothers me. I don't like it. Now, some people do it, and no offense. It's just for me, like I called my cleaners the other day because we're moving, right? And I called them and they said, it's a great day in Southern Maryland. How can we make your house sparkle?
Right.
I'm moving right now. It's not, it's happy that we're going to a new place, but it's not the most joyful time during
right.
period.
Yeah.
And it was earlier in the morning. Like, it was a little much for me.
And yeah, you're like overly bubbly. Personality. Yeah. It's like, okay, I got it.
Yeah, not that good. It's not early in the morning when you're just trying to get your house cleaned.
That's it. You know, so for me, like, I think it's to be mindful of just be human and just care.
Yeah.
And do that in your text messaging. Keep them short, 140 characters or less. Always ask a question. Never end in a statement. Always be the last person to answer. There you go. There's your rules. 140 characters or less. Okay. Always end in a question if you're trying to get a response. Okay. And always answer last.
Yep.
So if they say,
what happens if you have that battle with someone, because I've had that battle where they're okay. Like, I'm going to be the last person to answer. I'm going to be
like, I wait 30 minutes, set a message and then get them back again.
Say K.
K. That's always a good one, right? K.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh no, that's no. Good. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Justin, Noah, can we talk a little bit about the landscape of business in 2023 as we kind of wind this up? Can we talk about, like, obviously now, I think everyone knows kind of where we are now, post-COVID lull. Mm-hmm. What do you guys see? I know you guys do forecasting, you guys use trends and stuff like that.
You know, we see a bunch of things, right? Like, there's these macro shifts and there's, like, I will call them, like, mini macro shifts, right? Like, there's this larger sentiment of, okay, this online transparent pricing thing that's going on. We do it. We've kind of cut our teeth in it for years. There's a lot of people that are doing it. It's becoming more prevalent. Like even like HomeAdvisor and Angie are starting to do some upfront pricing and things like that now. So there's a little macro scale of consumers doing that sort of stuff. Okay. And then there's also this realignment of the HVAC add-on replacement market that's going on, right? Because if you look at our market and you break down, let's say the last 5-6 years, okay, it's been very heavily weighted, 20, maybe 30, some markets 40%, dealing with add-on replacements to deal with real estate transactions, right? Interest rates have been low. There's been a lot of things, you know, home selling, right? Whether it's somebody moving in, getting a new system, moving out, getting a new system, blah, 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 right? We had this boom there for a while. That's pretty much dried up right now. So there's all these homes that were sold and bought, and a lot of times the majority of them, they're owned by BlackRock. They're owned by these rental agencies that are out there, yeah. Right? So like, yeah, call 10 HVAC companies in your area and ask them, okay, and tell it you're the renter and see if they'll come service you.
Oh, why? Yeah.
Most won't.
Because so I want to deal with the person who's paying
forward,
the bill.
What is your solution as a business to deal with renters and tenants? You better look, because there's more of them out there than there ever has been. So I would really, and I'm not talking about like, multi-unit apartment buildings. I'm talking single family rentals. Okay. So I would suggest as you look towards this year to look internally as a company and say, hey, what's our policy? What do we do here? Right. Let's just at least take a second look at it.
Yep.
Okay. I would do that because I think there's an opportunity there that people are just kind of brushing away because we're like the slowest industry to adjust to anything. I mean, you know, when Service Titan came along, it was like, everything just changed. Like, oh my God, we have computers.
Yeah.
It was this massive shift.
What's an iPad?
So there's this big gap and I hear people talking about it. They're like, oh my God, like where's everything at? Why are we down? Well, we're down because 20 to 30% of the market's gone.
Yeah.
Where'd it go? Right. like in what's your way to kind of catch up with it? So that's one area I would look.
That's a great insight, because I know how we used to handle that. I mean, it would.
Sorry, we don't handle round click.
Pretty much either mm-hmm. that, or I mean, obviously, if we get the land, the person that owns the property on the phone, that's yeah. one thing, you know, because you don't want to deal with the renter, because you never know if you're going to get paid. So there is some things, some logistic things that you need.
You can't put a lien on that.
Maybe
house.
Having a process in place. Hey, no problem. Sorry to hear about your air conditioner that's broken. Do you rent or own? Mm-hmm. Oh no, we rent it. Okay, great. So. We'd be happy to help you. Here's what we need next, right? And just lead them with confidence into your process.
Yep.
But now it's, I'm not the owner. Nope, click. I see it in the notes. This was a renter.
Yeah, as a derogatory term.
It actually happened to me. So I rent, and just assemble repair. And I think it was like a Sunday or something, and I needed it fixed. So called ARS, obviously being a small guy, I didn't want to do that, but I needed a repair, right? So they're in the after hours line. As soon as I said rental, hung up. So exactly what Justin's saying, there's a whole market that most people are overlooking there.
So are you saying that we should almost be targeting renters who are wanting to take care of the property? Like they're planning on living in as a renter long term, because maybe financings are that's not going to be an option for them.
A house. I'm saying that make sure that you're not brushing away opportunities that may not be the same type of opportunities we experienced in the past. Like imagine right now you've got these big entities that are out there that rent a bunch of homes. You do one repair and save the day for them, and now you're introduced to 20 new rentals. And they're not rentals like slumlord rentals. There's a bunch of single family rentals, which look, that's our bread and butter. Who do we sell to and where do we go? We go where the units are.
So are we going to have to change our, I mean, if our mindset is let's sell systems and we start catering to that population, that the people who are renters versus homeowners, I wouldn't think that we would be expecting to sell a renter a system. We would be selling more service. Is that?
It's possible. It's possible. But remember now, you want to be the
just,
person.
You're not saying
there.
Like shift what you're doing. You're saying this is like.
Yeah, I just say really second, you know, take a look internally. Okay. I'm not saying allocate marketing dollars there. I'm not saying, you know, totally change what you're doing and your messaging. Yeah. Right. All I'm saying is when people call, and it's a renter or a tenant, I'm saying, you know, your ears should go up more than it used to. Okay. Know that that's going to happen more and more. Okay. And sure, Ashley, they don't want to pay your prices. Right. And that's fine, but I don't want to see people miss the opportunity of just because somebody's a renter, that it's not a big structured thing, because there are some large groups out there. And once you do work with them and you prove to them you're good, they will never call anybody else because it's a hassle for them, right? Their day was interrupted because one of their tenants' homes went down, yeah. right? They want the easiest solution that they can find. So I think there's an opportunity there.
Well, I'll tell you, Justin, I don't even know if you know this or not. Josh does, but and Noah, I don't know if y'all know, but the other company that I own, that's all we service is yeah. So it's the different business model. It's very high volume, low margin. And we know that going into it. And it's a different mindset having it, because that company is it does good and it has done good for years. Mm-hmm. People ask me all the time, well, that's good because now you can just like rob Peter and pay Paul over here because you can take a technician from TriStar and you can bring them over to Service Emperor. I was like, no, it's a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
Between the two of them, because TriStar, it's, you know, 6,000 properties that are all renters. And okay. It ranges from high-end renters to Section mm-hmm. 8 rentals. But they know how to handle the property manager, and it's a different mindset. You know that your $250 is your NTE, not to exceed $250. And if it's more than a capacitor and flushing a drain line, we have to send an estimate in. So you mm-hmm. know that going into the call. you're not there. I mean, you present all your findings to a property manager, but you don't expect to sell all of those findings to the property manager.
Right.
It's just a, hey, these are things you need to be aware of. These are things that are yellows on our board. Just so you're aware, if the homeowner wants to be preventative, we can come back here at a later date and swap that EVAP coil out.
Remember, you know, now, when you're in these places, now your van, which should be branded, is driving in the neighborhood. You're interacting with people. You're showing your presence, right? And you're growing your brand. So, you know, there's an effect that comes of that. Like, you know, especially even the tenants, right? Like, what's the best person to review you is a past customer. So what if you save the day for them, right? And they tell five more people. So I just think it's about not limiting the scope of opportunities going into this year.
Okay, you know, so that. You're talking not limiting a scope. Okay. What are your thoughts on the ones that always outrank everybody else on Google? The, you know what I'm talking about. Like your face shifted. The, I can't say their name, the HA, the ones where you pre-bought leads and stuff like that. Does that ever come back into the world of an option? Mm,
good point. Right. Cause there are some entities in that tech world that own a bunch of, say, these groups, right?
Exactly.
I am never a proponent, okay, for shared leads, buying leads from somebody that they aren't mine, right? That's produce leads for contractors every single day, but they are never shared and they are your leads, okay? If you're going to spend the money to go out and use marketing dollars, I really want you to see you get leads for you that are branded for your company, right? It's just, you know, that's always been my philosophy, because what happens is, sure, you can grow a business, all right, and you can do some revenue and you can make some profits, but what's the value of the business when you rely on another entity to do that?
There's no value
or core there, because if they go away, you go away.
Oh yeah, 100%. What if, like Josh mentioned, that it's like an add-on service, but you can do it good enough to make money and not lose money. Like, it's not
there's more people that use them than say publicly.
Oh yeah,
okay. I'll say that. Okay,
there's a lot,
and I think having
those sites get a ton of traffic every month. The ones that you're thinking about, there's probably three or four of them, big ones that get. Yeah. Millions and millions and millions of visitors. Now it depends on market, right? Like Yelp has a market. It's urban market. Mm-hmm. If you're not in an urban market, like Church, where you are, probably not going to do real well. Where I was in Wisconsin, not going to happen. If it was mm-hmm. in Phoenix is probably a good market. California kills it. Honestly, yes, Yelp is bigger in California than Google. It depends where you are, but ideally, if you are tech savvy or you know someone that's tech savvy, or you want to work with someone like with the reactivation stuff on UpFrog, maybe.
Yeah.
Connect their APIs to the text messaging platform so you can automatically text message these leads as they come in.
And sometimes
now, is like, that a possibility?
I don't focus on that because that's like a given for us. Like, I don't even like it doesn't even like raise a bar, but I forget that a lot of people don't have that like lead dashboard of all the sources coming into one place. For us, it's just like, well, yeah, that's what we do. That's what we connect everybody to.
Those lead sources, those lead platforms, the ones that charge you for every time they send you a lead and mm-hmm. they share it with 10 different contractors. Do you have an integration to where, like, as soon as it comes in, you can instantly send a text message out to the client?
You can request one.
Yeah. You can get keys or you can do it. You can parse emails, put it into JSON, send it in through a webhook. You can do lots of things.
How quick is that?
I've seen a video with Angie where somebody set up where it funnels into whatever you want it to.
I've seen that. If my memory serves correctly, I feel like it was like a 5 minute or a 10 minute trigger or something like that. So it would, or a 15 minute trigger. So it wouldn't do it instantly. It would just check on a 15 minute interval. And then if it happens, then you could be 10 minutes behind the other person. And I've literally had it on my phone, watching my phone. It came in, I clicked send, and I called the person and they're like, no, we have two contractors on the way. Like, this is not possible. It's not possible. Literally, my finger was like right there.
Well, back to Justin's point, and that's where you work with companies that get you exclusive leads.
Yeah.
That is always the most ideal lead for your business, because you're not sharing it. Then it is on your operations department or your operations team mm-hmm. to make sure you see it through to the finish line and don't stop that follow. If you text them once and they don't reply, that doesn't mean stop.
Yes.
That means keep going until you
don't give up. Like that's what people don't realize is they treat every lead like a phone call. It's not the way this works. Okay. Some leads take 2.7 weeks to close for a replacement. It just happens. That's kind of the average of our replacement leads. It takes time to get on the schedule. It takes time to send your guy out there. It takes time to sell the job. It takes time to install the job. Generally 2.7 weeks from when the lead comes in to when the actual job and you get money. Okay. So if you go into these platforms and you feel that like it's going to be instant, I think you're mistaking and you're claiming that these platforms don't produce, but really it's, you're not treating them as the platform and the style of leads that are really, really what they are. And I think people give up way too soon.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
That's a great point. I think that's a great way to kind of wrap up one, what UpFrog can help you with, but also just in general, if that's not something that you want to do right now, if you're thinking about things to help grow your business, whether, because I know you guys are working on some plumbing stuff, but you primarily HVAC, but we have a lot of people listening to the show. They're in carpet cleaning, they're in electrical, they're in all kinds of different trades. I see it every time we get new members in the Facebook group. Like there's, I'm like, holy crap, I don't even know how we got into this trade, like help somebody found the podcast. But there's a lot of things you can do, but focus on your operations because that is where the money is and where the money is being lost.
And that is where we focus on assisting. Like everybody says, you know, oh, you do online pricing. Great. Everybody can do that. Sure, they can. But what they don't have and what really makes the system work is the back end, the operational assisting and supporting and staff to do it, because that's really where the magic happens. And I'm not a big bragger. I'm not one of those people that beat my chest out there and this and that. But this first quarter, our clients are getting the best results we've seen since UpFrog's been around. Like it's just for some reason, like we have some really, really good partners and it's just, it's working, you know? So it's very, I'm on the optimistic train. A lot of people are very pessimistic going to this. Like I'm not. Like if you're slow and you need work, I mean, we just did it for Terse, $60,000 in 6 tune-ups within, I don't know, a couple hours.
Yeah.
There's solutions, right? And drop the ego, call someone, and I'll be happy to help you.
100%. With that being said, what's the best way for people to reach out? And
you can reach us at you know, on our Facebook page, UpFrog. You know, you can find us upfrog.com. You can Facebook message me. You know,
I thought you guys had one of them fancy .ios.
I did.
Yeah, we've got .com now, so we've grown up.
Oh, you're going back
both. School. Okay, so if you want to go down memory lane, you can.
It's still like 2020, dude.
it's crazy. Nowhere out there if you want to go use that, Josh.
Yeah, it's still
I there. Have Justin and Noah's cell phone, so if you'd rather just go straight to the source, I'll throw the cell phone number out there for you, and it. You guys can blow it up care. All day and night.
I don't care. Just text me. Don't call me. Okay. I'm not.
I don't have Noah Carter's cell phone. I have Noah Sniper's cell phone.
Actually, I want to talk to Noah. Noah, I think you need to have like a persona when you come on these podcasts. That's Noah Sniper. Like just a bat, like badass.
Oh, that
figure out some kind of persona. Have ChatGPT write up the persona for you.
I thought it was Paul Bart. Today, man.
Oh yeah, Paul Bart. What happened there?
Yeah, where'd that go? We were supposed to do that. It's always a blast to be on here with you guys. Thank
you. We really appreciate you guys.
It really is.
Awesome.
And can't wait to see you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Come on out to Arizona.
Actually, in like 2 or 3 weeks, I will be. So I'll hit you up.
Yep.
All right, guys. We appreciate it. He's got a new puppy to hang out with. If anybody has any questions, y'all don't hesitate to reach out to Justin Noah. Obviously these guys, they know a ton and they're willing to share so much information with everybody. You can reach out to me, but I'm just going to send you to Justin Noah because I don't know any of that stuff. That's why I finally use them. But anyways, what we mentioned, I mean, I literally have screenshots here. Like I could send them to you. This, I'm not blowing smoke. We really just created all of the, are we Justin and his team and Noah, they created it in a matter of a couple of hours and have generated tons of revenue. So,
first we should, after like a week, we should try to get their service type numbers and put it together like a little case study for that, just so people can know what's possible, right? Because You don't have a customer list that's like 10,000 people.
Oh, no,
people have customer lists way bigger than yours.
But it's a good customer base. Like, you guys do good work, right? You take care of your customers, which most people do. But it's not like thousands and thousands, right?
Just that before, I won't name state or area or anything just for their protection, but they had a list of 6,000 people. They did 23 installs off that list, and they were all plumbing customers. So they started an HVAC division and never done it before.
Cross trade.
And you know, look, they've now paid for a few vans off just the list they had before they even start their whole marketing efforts in other places. So the real cross trade to be had is plumbing to HVAC. If you're a plumbing company expanding to HVAC, I'm talking to you. It works really well, right? So just to put that out there,
we got a blueprint, a pathway to profitability, basically. Like with paid media, we try and run the first 2 weeks with this, you know, recovery and reactivation. We get you a pile of cash, so then you don't have to come out of pocket for your paid media, and it just snowballs.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
That is what's up. All right, y'all. We appreciate y'all hanging out with us, and anybody that's watching or listening, we really appreciate y'all. Without you, we really wouldn't be doing the show like this. I mean, let's be honest, I will, because I like hanging out with these guys, and that's the only way I can get them to hang out with me. So, but I'm just kidding. I hope y'all have a wonderful and safe week until we talk again next time on Service.
Thanks, guys.
Mastery Podcast. We'll see you guys later.
See y'all.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.